Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast, guest starring Judge Jesse Thorne. I'm your bailiff, Jordan Morris. This week, odor in the court. Christopher brings the case against his girlfriend, Andrea. Andrea says that Christopher rewears his clothing too often and doesn't care for the clothes properly. Christopher says that he doesn't smell and he's happy with the way the clothes look. So what's the problem? Who's right? Who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge Jesse Thorne enters the courtroom.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please hold your applause for the end. Bailiff Morris, would you please swear the parties in?
Christopher and Andrea, please raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or just the universe, or, I don't know, the spirit of love?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you swear to abide by Judge Jesse Thorne's ruling, even though he's constantly traveling in a cloud of cartoon filth like Pigpen from the Peanuts?
Yes.
Yes. Not sure what that is.
It's very funny to Americans. Thank you. Judge Thorne, you may proceed.
You guys would probably recognize something about some weird cartoon guys that go to a boarding school and they're in a comic book that's too small.
Oh, Banana Man. Do you guys have Banana Man over there? You
have
Banana
Man.
We have Banana Man.
I don't have Banana Man in Spain, no.
Andrea. Andrea, Christopher, welcome to the courtroom. Christopher, you've brought this case. Can you please tell me exactly what the static is?
In a nutshell, because it's kind of multi-layered, like a trifle, but I think it's...
I don't know what that is.
I wear raggedy clothes, and I like them, but Andrea doesn't like them. Or I really get the impression that she really likes the way I used to dress, and that's not how it is anymore. I also don't smell, nor do I shower.
Hold on. What do you take? Hamster showers? Dust bath?
If I smell, then I'll shower. But other than that, then I don't really do much. And I'll repeatedly wear the same sort of clothes until I've ground them down to, nothing but thread.
When you say you'll repeatedly wear the same sort of clothes, you mean the same category of clothes? Like you'll repeatedly wear trousers on your lower half and shirts on your upper half? Or do you mean that you will repeatedly wear literally the same piece of clothing?
Both of those statements, yeah. Yes. I'll wear the same clothes.
You mentioned that your style of dress has changed. When you guys met, were you an investment banker and now are you a gypsy pickpocket?
That's not too far from the truth. No, wait a minute. It is. I wasn't an investment banker, but I am. I do look like a ragamuffin pickpocket now. I've got that kind of. Who was that guy?
I can understand that. You've got a pickpocket or two.
I used to dress with shirts and they were pink, and I suppose investment bankers wore those.
What do you wear now instead of shirts?
So yeah.
You've abandoned shirts?
I've abandoned shirts. I have kind of...
Maybe you should explain what you're wearing right now.
Hold on. I wanted, before we get into all the specifics of what you're wearing right now, Andrea, I'm amazed that Christopher would choose to say all these things about himself. I mean, traditionally, these are things that you would say about him in a complaining-type fashion. But can you tell me what are your issues with his manner of dress and his personal hygiene and his weird attitude about those things?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I enjoy his attitude because he's taken it to the level of comedy. And
not on purpose.
Not unlike Pigpen from Peanuts.
Again, this is very funny to Americans.
Yeah.
But I think... the point where I get maybe most annoyed with, even though maybe I shouldn't, is when, for example, he comes back from work the whole day and then he goes into bed with those clothes and then he waits till the last minute to go to work again with those clothes again. So it's just like a cycle where there's no stopping. There's no even, oh, I'm going to change my socks, or it's just like going from one bed, work, you know, wearing the same things.
Christopher, do you change your undergarments every day?
No, I don't. I think if you asked that of everybody, you would get a people would say yes. But I think the reality of it is 95% of people do not change their undergarments.
Not true.
Incorrect.
Bad math.
You are absolutely incorrect.
95?
I just moved into a new house. I have no laundry facilities, and yet I have managed to change my socks and underwear with each successive day. Each day brings a new underpant and a new sock to each of my feet.
Boy, this is going to be the shortest episode ever. I mean,
Can we just string them up?
Okay, so Christopher, obviously you're making some sickening choices.
this is Europe, you know. It's all like nasty teeth.
You're all drunk.
We bathe ourselves in the canal.
I think you're thinking of Elizabethan Europe. You may be describing a time when there was a man whose job it was to pick excrement up out of the Thames.
They do that here because, like, there's canals everywhere. Every year they have to haul up all the excrement. That really happens.
Yeah, but I'm sure the guys who are hauling up the excrement change their underwear every day.
Okay, Andrea, Christopher has told us that he doesn't ever smell. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is true, but it doesn't mean that he smells well, you know? It's just like, maybe it's true that when he starts smelling of sweat, then he would have a shower. But sometimes it's me the one suggesting it. So sometimes I really have to say, like, hey, okay, now it's time to go to the bath.
Andrea, is it possible that either of you are facing the sort of situation that, say, a sanitation worker says they will face, which is to say that after a certain amount of time working in the dump, you no longer smell the odor of garbage?
Yeah, it could be true.
Well, no, but then that would mean that other people would say that I smell.
Yeah. You know, no, they would not say that. They would not say that, Christopher. That would be rude. They would just avoid you from there on out.
But we're in Holland, and they're quite straightforward, I would say. People are quite matter-of-factly, and they just go, boosh.
By straightforward, of course, you mean totally baked.
Oh man, we're gonna have a lot of fun talking about Holland stuff on this show, aren't we, Jordan?
Sure, all three of the things.
Yeah, what do you got? Number one, you got
wooden shoes,
and you got dykes.
Yeah,
fingers and dykes.
Sure, that's fun.
Your finger in a dyke.
Okay.
Well, if it sprung a leak, what are you supposed to do? Ugh, God.
Christopher, how long have you gone without showering, specifically?
How long in, like,
the recently? Last few years? What's the longest stretch of time you spent without allowing the cleansing water that's brought to your house through the convenience of indoor plumbing to touch your body?
I'd say about just over 2 weeks. But I would say
whoa.
That in the, wait, hold on, hear me out.
So
in
3 weeks?
No. I'd say 2 weeks, 2 days. It was something like that. And that was in 2010. And it was because it rained twice on the way home.
Why did you happen to be nude?
You're not a car.
But it was summer, so I was wearing just swimming shorts and like a vest, and I got drenched. And I thought, that's
hold
a freebie.
On. Stop! I'm more upset even than by the fact that you spent 2 weeks without washing, by the fact that you were walking around in public streets wearing swimming trunks and a vest.
I've just been to have a swim in the canal, which I also counted as a sort of shower.
You mean the excrement canal?
No, there are the ones that clean.
Shut your pie hole.
Oh boy.
Christopher, we've established how long you've taken between showers. How long have you worn the exact same clothes? And I want to hear both full set of clothes, including socks and underwear, and full set of clothes, but you changed your socks and underwear.
And no
saying that you changed an accessory. Accessorizing is not changing your clothes.
No, I don't really accessorize either. But
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a guy who has a lot of neckerchiefs and ascots.
I change my clothes regularly, like once every 2 or 3 days. But those clothes, there's a cycle of these clothes. So, it's sort of like something gets taken off, gets put on the pile, and then another thing gets taken from the bottom of the pile.
You have a
And
pile. You have a pile.
Yes.
Listen to yourself.
Andrea, as I understand it, you've submitted a photograph of the pile.
In the garbage bag. He's probably in the garbage bag, yeah.
Bailiff Morris, could you bring me those photographs?
Yes, I will, of course.
Okay, so, Andrea, I'm looking at these photographs. Can you describe to me what I'm seeing?
Is it the one where you see three black bags?
I see three black bags and I see a chair.
Yeah, okay. So you see like a wardrobe, and then there's some clothes that are being folded. And then there's some spaces that are free. Those are supposed to be the spaces for Christopher's clothes. But instead of being in the wardrobe, they are in the middle of the room in the garbage bags.
Well, I mean, it could just be that Christopher uses the wardrobe to travel to a magical land. So,
gotta keep it clean.
sure.
Now, I also see another photograph. This looks like a comfortable armchair.
Oh yeah, this one where I'm sitting. Yeah, that's usually like how he would just leave his clothes around, like
So
whenever they
this
change
armchair
them.
is completely covered in what look like soiled clothes.
Yeah.
Don't say it like
Soiled
that.
in rain and canal water.
Yeah, and then one day he just exchanged them. So he picks one and then leaves another one, but without cleaning them.
So, Andrea, I have to ask you this question. Christopher is obviously a disgusting man, with personal habits that would barely satisfy a hobo in the Tudor times. That's the 17th century, if I'm not mistaken. I may well be mistaken. Please do not email me. Tell me, you're the one who lives with him. Did you move in with him knowing full well that he was a disgusting greaseball?
No, I knew that he didn't like showering, that he doesn't like wet getting wet generally. So that's all I knew.
Christopher, are you a witch?
No, I'm not a gremlin or a witch or a mogwai. I just don't like water.
Did water do something to you?
It's just showers are kind of unpleasant. It's getting
No,
in
I
them
believe the
Yeah, they're
exact
great. They're
opposite.
great.
Showers
They're
are
soothing.
probably one of the best things, right up there with the ready availability of ice cream. I would say they're one of the best things about living a modern industrialized life.
But okay, all right. I'll
Maybe
argue my point
the
a little
Dutch
better.
shower is something different.
No, that's a euphemism.
It's just a shower of tasty buds.
Yeah.
When you take a Dutch shower, do you ever find yourself afterwards to be sticky, icky, icky? Anyway, tulips.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jordan.
This it seems like something that I noticed early in the conversation that I would like to know a little bit more about. It seems like at some point during the relationship, you've changed your either job or lifestyle or something like that. I wonder if that has anything to do with this. So I'd like to hear from both of you what that change was.
Andrea, maybe you could start.
He was studying art and now he's an artist. So that's maybe he's more comfortable with the fact that he's an artist and he's following this role. No. I think it's like he's got like definitely an identity crisis.
What?
Yeah, you told me that. You told me that the clothes were like that you don't want to follow any fashion, that you want to break rules, and then that you're trying to find your way of like, yeah, by breaking rules you're finding yourself or something.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, is there an, I guess is, I mean, I just don't like water. isn't a very compelling argument, but is there an ethos behind this that we should know about?
Is this like Karl Lagerfeld wearing those weird collars and all black, and those crazy sunglasses?
Me, when I dress now?
Yeah.
No, no, no. Although I did go through a black stage, I thought, I'll try out the black stage. Yeah.
You know, but that's right, weird because I've heard that you never go back. Well, it's weird that you've...
So tell me what is the reason that you have chosen to wear the same clothes over and over indefinitely? Is there an intellectual reason?
Yeah, I guess. Like Andrea, I think, sent some evidence before of how I used to dress, and I really dressed a bit hipsterish and like wearing just superfluous braces. Suspenders, mm-hmm. With like shirts tucked into my trousers, with tight skinny jeans, and it was just impractical, and it was just very, you know, of the times, and it was, you know, I have to change my dress code according to my social gathering, and that will change every half a year, and I just didn't really want to be in that little weird race anymore where, ooh, I dress a little better than you, hey, look at my plumage, it's better than yours.
Christopher, I don't mean to interject here, but I do mean to interject. Yes. Do you think the reason your social gathering, as you put it, is changing every 6 months is because you don't shower?
No, but this was in his showering peacocking days.
Gotcha.
Let me wrap up the showering thing. Look, I don't shower because I don't smell. And I think that if I don't smell, then I don't need to. I'm not smearing poop everywhere. I'm not like infecting people. As far as I know, Andrea isn't infected. She does have a rash on the neck at the moment, but that's not me.
Well,
it's fine. My clothes don't smell, so therefore I can rewear them. And then I put my hands up. If someone says I smell, I will have a shower. And if someone says your clothes smell, then I will wash them. Or at least I will put them in a pile where they will be washed at a later date. So that's
after
the kind
you've
of shower.
Worn them a few more times.
Or wear them a few more times.
Andrea, you've submitted to me a photograph of, actually two photographs of Christopher before he became a street person. I'm looking at a photograph of Christopher. It looks like perhaps boating. Maybe he's looking for excrement on the Thames. Could you describe to me what he's wearing?
Yeah, he's wearing a pink shirt and some kind of curry collar trousers that were kind of tight, and then he wears this how do you call those shoes that are open? They have no shoelaces and they have like
a loafer.
Yeah, it's like a loaf, penny loafers or something.
Leather, yeah, that kind of stuff. And I think that's it.
It looks like he's also in this photograph on his lapel wearing a small human figure. Is that true?
Oh yeah. Maybe. Yeah, he used to wear, like, how do you call it, a badge? No, like a brooch
or something. Yeah.
Like a brooch that he would make himself, or he would find something and put it on.
Okay, so I have a couple of concerns. First of all, I feel like I don't trust either of you to determine whether Christopher is smelly. Christopher, have you ever spoken to a clean person who had no social interest in telling you that you were that you smelled fine, such as, for example, you know, just getting you to get out of line at a fast food restaurant or whatever, and had them tell you, yes, you always smell fine?
To friends, I have been known on occasion to say, hey, I don't smell, smell me. And then I say, do I smell? And people often say, no, you don't smell, or you smell normal. And I lift up my armpits and people dig in and it's no problem.
Christopher, I'm looking at a photograph of your head in profile. And on your head is a majestic pile of hair.
Is that the one? It's like the crown of my head. Or something.
Yes. Maybe you could describe to me what your hair's up to.
I cut that off as soon as you tugged that because I didn't know that I had a sort of bird on the my head. I couldn't see the back of my head. The front of the hair on the front is normal. I think there's another photograph, but I can't see what's up there. I don't really look in the mirror.
Yeah, if only there was some sort of professional you could hire to take a look at your head and shape what's there into something that would be pleasing to others. A sort of hair chopper.
A bar bore.
Do you give yourself haircuts, Christopher?
Yes.
I don't know if this is part of the argument or not. It might be a factor. Are you too destitute? I mean, you have an artist's lifestyle. I mean, I get the impression that Amsterdam probably isn't a cheap place to live. Do you guys have an income stream? Can you afford shampoos and the occasional haircut?
Yes, we both can.
But a kind of low budget, but
Yeah, low budget, but we're doing it. We're all right.
I mean, I think I have no problems with
Yeah, I think Andrea earns a little less than me at the moment, and she has plenty of shampoos. So I have no excuse, but I don't need to have one, so I'm all right. I got one shampoo.
When you say one shampoo, you just mean a single application of shampoo that you stole from a Motel 6?
I actually got it, I think, a year ago. It's the same one.
he just got it in a prize pack.
You know, sometimes I feel like when people are in a couple for a long time, you know, they kind of dress to complement each other. Can you guys describe how Andrea dresses on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think She dresses very well. I'm not sure how to.
Well, maybe it's well in your eyes. I guess I'm not the most neat, smart person. No, in like an objective. I'm not a banker either.
Well, you're clearly not smart. You're dating this guy.
I also have clothes with holes and paint on them, and I don't mind wearing old clothes, and you know.
But she pulls it off with panache. Like, I think she makes it into like she uses the raggedy style to her advantage. You know, it's kind of like a loose fitting clothing, but put together in a very very good way.
Like a Stevie Nicks type situation.
Who's Stevie Nicks?
Very funny in America.
Very funny
in America. This will all be very funny to America.
She's a character from the cartoon strip Marmaduke. You guys wouldn't know that,
because
you're not American.
Yeah.
Andrea, let me ask you this question: How does Christopher's manner of dress and his choices around hygiene affect your life?
They don't affect me, what would you say, in my life. It's just more of a personal issue. I just feel like if he's not really properly taking care of himself, that means that he doesn't really care about himself, which means that he's not very being respectful with me either. So how can you, you know, show someone that you respect them if you're really just like thinking of whatever you feel or think? Like, he says, yeah, I don't cut the back of my hair because I don't see it. So then he doesn't care about what other people are seeing, you know?
Is it an issue, Andrea, when the two of you are out together, for example?
Well, I'm not embarrassed, really. I mean, he's always been kind of special, creative with his clothes. But I guess it's more when I suggest something and he gets annoyed that I'm suggesting because I don't give him the freedom. So I just completely ignore it now, but still wonder sometimes, like, why is he wearing this? Or why is he repeating so much his clothes?
I have to ask you a relatively personal question now, Andrea.
Yeah.
When his hygiene is as poor as it is and when he dresses in the manner that he does, does this compromise your romantic interest in him? And I'm speaking advisedly because this is a family program, but does this compromise your romantic interest in him, or does it enhance his romantic appeal, as, say, the dirtiness of Kesha might for certain people who I won't name.
I think it makes it worse. The how do you say it? The attraction.
This is something to be delicate about, of course. But Chris, have you noticed that since you've, you know, adopted this new, you know, approach to dressing, what are the trips to Pound Town like? Have they been? Are they less frequent? Let's talk about the quality of the trips, and of course. I'm being delicate here. This needs to be, this is sensitive.
The PG-rated program that just became a PG-13 rated program.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing about going to Pound Town is, they're not really bothered about what you wear. In fact, they have a no clothes policy, so it's not much of a problem.
What about the aftermath?
The aftermath in Pound Town? You mean like putting clothes back on?
I'm not going to get too far into it.
Yeah. Sure. I guess
I can't think of a delicate way to discuss the aftermath of Pound Town.
I guess there are certain things that you want to do when your partner is clean. There are certain things that you want to do versus when they're dirty. It's like I'm just talking about variety. Do you feel like you're getting all of the stuff?
I select my showers and I select them for the moments that I need to have them. And I mean, going to Pound Town it's a special occasion, and you need to dress for the occasion. So showering is, I've always done this like for as long as I can remember, and I am very conscious about smells because I remember when my dad. He told me one day when I was a young boy, he said, "You need some deodorant." And he just said it like that, very matter of fact. And I felt so ashamed. And it's like when you have like spinach on your teeth or a bird poo on your head and no one tells you until, you know, hours later. And then you just keep looking back and going, "Oh my God, how long have I been smelling for? I mean, I've been rolling around and rocking up for dinner and I've been smelling." And then my mum also hates smelly people. She was on the bus one time she was somewhere. I was with her. And then she got very, very angry with a man that smelled, and she said that he was antisocial. So I've tried my best not to smell. And I do use, anti-smelling products to curb the smell.
Do you ever exercise? Do you ever ride around on one of those funny Dutch bicycles with a little basket in the front, gathering tulips, or play soccer ball, or...
Yeah, riding around is dance. It's, yeah, of course. Yeah, we have to do it every day. It's like it's transport.
So do you take the opportunity after exercising to clean yourself?
Well, I don't get that sweaty, I guess.
You do.
Okay.
You just got busted. Busted.
No, okay, I don't.
Sometimes
I do, sometimes I don't. You know, and if I get sweaty, you know, there's like sweat can be good. You shouldn't wash off your sweat all the time. We live in a far too clean a culture. You know, it's like, yeah, you should wash all the time and buy our stuff to make you clean, because if you don't, then, you know, people aren't going to like you. Well, it's fine, because you need the crusty sweat to, you know, get crystals or some science. I don't know.
Some science on your body.
Yeah, get some science on your body. You need it. You shouldn't shower all the time.
You need the crusty sweat to gather some crystals? Are you suggesting that we're living in the tyranny of the crystal industrial complex, where the crystal industry is using our sweat to build its precious crystals?
Yeah, man, we're all being held down by big crystal.
To a degree. I don't know. It's just, it's fine. No one's, I'm not bothering anybody else. Am I bothering you, Andre? Like with the smelling and the non-showering? Like, do you know when I shower and when I don't?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why do you think you're in court, Christopher? You think it's happenstantial? You think we've been cold calling people? Andrea, shut your pie hole, Christopher. Andrea, what remedy for this situation do you think would be appropriate?
I guess a balance, a bit of a balance. Because it seems like you're just like a wild sheep. I don't know what kind of thing. Doing whatever you want, getting crystals all over your body. And in the meantime, I'm just here like, hey, but what about me? So, I don't know. Yep. I mean, it is true that the smell is not the bother, because it's true that it's not like a homeless person smell, you know. It's not something that really, it's just like, yeah, if he's smelly, he showers, or I tell him to shower, whatever. I think it's the whole routine, you know, when one thing is next to the other, when there's not much shower, but also there's not much change of clothes, and also there's not much cleaning the clothes or the house or the hair or whatever. And then all of that together, I think it's when it becomes a bit like, okay, but do you actually care about me? Or yeah. So I think just taking a bit more care, or trying to see how would you feel if I was like that.
If you were happy, then I'd be happy.
You know, this is maybe a consideration. How old are you guys?
25.
Yeah.
And you're, can you guys tell me what, you know, what you guys want your kind of life to be moving forward? Do you want to stay artists? Do you want to do you hope to move into a more traditional job at some point? Where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years?
Probably banking, right?
Probably banking.
Into more and more chaos, I'm afraid. I think we both.
Yeah. I like the idea that Andrea is a Spanish anarchist. She's going to start assassinating archdukes.
So you want him to start wearing more Guy Fawkes masks?
Christopher, I have to ask you. I have to ask you this question: how often would you say your clothes get washed? I want to start with, in terms of number of wearings. I want you to describe socks and underwear. I want you to describe trousers, and I want you to describe shirts, and then you can go on to, outerwear.
Well, and then of course your tuxedos and never mind.
Yeah, white tie,
yeah,
black tie, informal black tie.
How often do you polish your monocle?
Exactly.
Well, everything. Well, I don't have a monocle.
I thought that was the black nails.
Oh, no, no. Andrea was pointing at me like, yeah, you wash your monocle. They all get washed together. Everything gets all washed at one time. So when the underwear runs out, then everything gets washed.
On average, how many times do you wear your underwear before it goes in the wash?
Like 3 days. 3 days, I'd say.
On average.
Three days
I wear my underwear, and then it gets put in the wash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not pooping in them, so it's fine.
What about shirts?
Shirts are the same thing. They all get washed. It's about, I'd say, every month and a half to 2 months does everything get washed. And I know that sounds, you know, unreasonable, but Andrea does the same thing. She washes everything every 1.5 to 2 months.
Girls have more clothes than boys.
Yeah, well.
Boys who aren't me.
Yeah. Most boys. You're a typical boy.
So, Christopher, we're talking about 3 wears for socks and underwear. How many wears for shirts?
Before they get washed. The washing pile.
Yeah. No, between washes.
I don't know. I mean, it can go a long time. If it doesn't smell. If I did some real physical exertion in that thing, then sure, it's gone straight away. But on average, maybe like sort of 3 weeks or something.
So you're talking about 20 wears? You mean 3 weeks worn continuously? Andrea, I trust you. What's your opinion? About how many times does he wear a shirt before he washes it?
I would say it might be 3 weeks. But what he does, for example, with underwear.
It's cumulative, though. The 3 weeks are cumulative. Like, it's like 2 days here, 3 days there, another 4 days, like 2 weeks down the line.
I can hear you accumulating days.
I think he's using now maybe, I mean, he does have a lot of clothes, but he's using 2% of your clothes at the moment?
I sold lots of them.
Yeah, you sold lots of them, but you don't use them. So he's now maybe using 3 or 4 shirts, and the average of washing clothes is still a month, like every month. Wow. So I think that says enough.
So we're looking at least 10 wearings. Yeah.
Oh, at least, yeah, for sure. Maybe more. In terms of wares, it's going to be 20 wares, I reckon.
Christopher, what would you like to see come out of this case?
I just want to do, I'm not bothering really anybody, and I don't want to just be told to do something just because everyone else is doing it. You know, like, hey, you shouldn't wear raggedy clothes because we're all being clean, and then you should shower more. And I say, why? Because you should. I don't smell. What's the problem, mister? And I just don't want to be told to do things that seem unnecessary. I am happy the way I am.
Do you think that you have responsibilities to others because of social convention that are of value simply because there is value in having social conventions?
I understand the social convention, and I understand that if I smell, then it is very antisocial and unpleasant for other people, and I would definitely take note of that and shower immediately. Same for clothes, but I don't really seem to offend anybody else apart from Andrea with the clothes. And I don't want to wear, I don't look in the mirror really, and I don't want to wear my clothes for other people anymore. I want to wear my clothes for practical purposes. I mean, I just don't want to be viewed just as my clothes anymore.
Are you just gonna stop wearing clothes and start wearing chainmail? Pretty practical.
I'm seeing maybe an industrial jumpsuit.
Yeah, have you thought about switching to jumpsuits?
I did think about switching to jumpsuits, but I look like a knob, so I stopped immediately.
Oh, really? Well, but you don't wear clothes for other people, huh?
Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't wearing the jumpsuits for other people. The jumpsuit was purely practical. It was like you just wear it's like a onesie, right? Is that a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for painting and stuff. I have one. I thought it was brilliant because I thought, oh, I don't need to think about anything else anymore. But I looked like a giant, like, blue smarty.
To other people,
what, with the jumpsuit? Yeah, well, I don't want to draw attention. At the end of the day, I also don't want to draw attention to myself by looking like a blue smarty. You know, I want to kind of blend seamlessly a little bit.
Well, Christopher, Andrea, I appreciate you sharing your arguments with me. I'm going to retire to my chambers and consider my decision.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
While Judge Thorne is considering his decision, let me talk to you guys for a little bit. Andrea, let's go into a fantasy world here. You and Chris are going out to a nice dinner. What would you like him to wear?
I would like him to wear a shirt that he hasn't broken on purpose. Or like some trousers that he hasn't worn for the last 2 weeks, and some nice clean underwear and socks. And I think that's enough.
Okay, Chris, that sounds reasonable to you?
Yeah, it's reasonable. I'd do it. If we were going out for a nice meal, I'd definitely take that occasion to put on some clean underwear.
And Chris, do you think that this image that you're projecting, this utilitarian image, how do you think that is part of your success or not success in the art world?
No, I don't think it's got anything to do with it. But no, possibly. I am working more. I definitely want to make work that speaks for itself rather than an image behind the work. I'm not doing it on purpose, though. It's come naturally, this whole thing. And I think I've just begun, as I've been more at art school and then coming out, it's made me question a lot about, why am I dressing the way I am, and who do I need to please by doing so? Can't I just be recognized for what I do and who I am rather than what I dress like?
Andrea, have you thought about maybe surprising him with a bath, maybe just while dumping some water and shampoo on him while he's sleeping?
That would be amazing.
Yeah. No, I haven't thought about that. I've tried to like say, oh wow, a nice shower now, because I love showering, but it doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't work.
And guys, how do you think Judge Thorne is going to rule in this case? Andrea, let's start with you. How do you think the ruling is going to go down?
I'm quite confused myself, because even though I'm the one saying all these things, saying like, yeah, they could, like, the normal thing would be to shower more often, or clean your clothes more often and stuff. At the same time, I understand the freedom, you know. I understand that if he's not really bothering anybody apart from me, because I know him deeply, then what's the matter? So I'm a bit confused myself.
Chris, how about you? How do you think this is going to go?
I got a good idea. I think I'm going to be told to conform, and I feel like the little man, you know, the bottom of the pile, just going, I'm not doing any harm.
So you feel like you're kind of raging against the machine at this point.
Maybe it's a good thing that it gets turned against me, because that just gives my cause more, oomph. I'll be like the sort of the Pussy Riot in the sort of hygiene world.
Okay, so you're...
I really regret saying that.
Yeah, probably not a great comparison to draw, but what's done is done. Judge Thorne is re-entering the courtroom. Jesse, to catch you up on what was happening while you were rendering your verdict, Chris compared himself to agitprop punk band and political prisoners Pussy Riot.
Oy, oy, oy.
So this is, he feels very strongly about the stance that he's taking.
I'm happy to hear that you're making a fight against the dictatorial regime in Holland. And on behalf of social justice for all people.
Judge Thorne, what is the verdict?
Well, Christopher, I have to say that as a somewhat eccentric dresser myself, I appreciate the passion and consideration that you've brought to your personal presentation. However, ultimately, I must rule against you. I understand that as an artist, and particularly as a young artist, you have made the choice in your life to spend time getting to know yourself. That's a natural and valuable thing for all people, but it's particularly valuable for people whose job it is to express themselves in a very deep way. That having been said, you are 25, you are an adult, and you are responsible not just to yourself, but also to others. I am not going to require you to participate in what I would describe as a normal amount of washing. Instead, I will require you to participate in what I would describe as a bare minimum first world 21st century amount of washing. That is the following. I would ask you to shower at least once per week. That's not an average. I do not wish 7 days to pass with you not having showered. I want you to change and wash the clothes that touch your stinky parts after each wearing. Your stinky parts, if I may be specific, are your underarms, your feet, and your special business. That means socks, underwear, and shirts, particularly shirts worn without an undergarment. Is that clear?
That's clear, Judge Thorne.
Clothes that don't touch your stinky parts should be washed when there is any noticeable odor or soil.
Yes,
sir. I'll tell you the reason for this. It is not simply for your own self-respect or for social convention or for any of the reasons that I've already outlined. It's also out of respect to your clothing. Soil that you cannot see in the form of dirt and oil will degenerate your clothing, and it sounds like it does. And your clothes need to be washed in order to be maintained. It is part of the basic maintenance of your wardrobe that you wash the clothes that are getting your body oils on them. So I need you to keep those things clean so that you can continue to wear them and so that you don't have to go out and buy new clothes and be a consumptive anti-pussy riot so-and-so. I will also compel you to either have your hair cut professionally.
Oh, what?
Or to wear a hairstyle that can be reasonably maintained by you and Andrea. That hairstyle basically is just a buzz cut. There's basically no other hairstyle that you will be able to maintain yourself with help from Andrea, unless Andrea's job is as a hairdresser, other than a buzz cut. So your choices are either to get your hair professionally managed or to wear a hairstyle that you can manage. I do not think that I can't see it is an appropriate excuse for a haircut, because everyone else that's not you can. And I think that speaks to your artist's self-centeredness, which, again, is a valuable thing, but it's also something that you have to be careful of. And finally, I compel you to find a close friend and appoint that friend as your odor monitor. This should be someone that you see regularly, and you should check in with them at least once a week around your personal hygiene habits. This has to be someone who will be brutally honest with you, as honest as I am being with you right now. And they have to check in. Are you gross?
Ideally, it'd be Bill Maher. Okay, tells it like it is. Well, again, very funny to American.
I mean, I say check in on John McCain in the Straight Talk Express.
Sure, yeah. He travels through Holland a lot, doesn't he?
Ultimately, Christopher, I am very loath to ask someone for whom expression is their business to change the way they dress themselves and change the way they present themselves physically. I think that's a very important thing, and I respect you. I respect your decisions very much. I also think that you're right, that the hygiene industry has changed our expectations around hygiene, and not always for the better. They've transformed the washing that we need to do for our health into a luxury that can be bought and consumed, and ultimately into a thing that can lead to shame. I mean, I think, for example, no one even knew what shampoo was before 75 or 100 years ago. However, I also think that it's important to recognize that you have to respect yourself, respect your romantic partner, and respect the other people in the world. And part of that is thinking about the way your choices affect others. I think that you may be myopic in thinking that they don't affect others. And so I have set up this system to lead you, hopefully, to follow the bare minimums of societal conventions. And, you know, if you want to wear 7 brooches to express yourself, go ahead. Wear the brooches. I have no beef with that. I just don't want you to be the stinky guy in the elevator. That's my ruling. You're welcome.
Judge Thorne has spoken. Return to your marijuana smokings and your prostitution hirings.
Tulip gathering?
Tulip gathering. That's what they call prostitute gathering. Andrea, Chris, how do you guys feel about the ruling today?
Yeah, I think it seems very, very fair. I just also, it made me realize how much I was also getting convinced by Christopher, in the way that I started to think, why does someone need to shower once a week, or why does someone need to change their clothes for their partner or whatever, you know? So, yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's an eye-opener, I think. I think it's a good idea for the odor monitor. An odor monitor is a good thing. Someone who will really say it, you know, straight into my face, yes, you smell like a rhino or something. You know, that's fine. So, yeah, I'm happy, I guess.
Christopher, Andrea, thank you for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join.
Sound Heap with John-Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts, like If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey.
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If You Had a Cupboard in Your Lower Back, What Would You Keep in It? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Sound Heap with John-Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Sound Heap with John-Luke Roberts now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using a limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game and brilliant guests who come play him. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Judge Thorne, now that we're in your quarters, would you like to have a snack and clear the docket?
I would. What kind of snacks have you brought?
Well, I have some hard cheese and a knuckle sandwich.
I'll take the cheese.
Okay. Can I punch you later?
I'd rather you didn't.
All right. Let's clear the docket, shall we?
Let's.
Aaron writes, my wife Sarah and I are shamefully late to the party that is the Judge John Hodgman podcast. We've got over 100 unlistened to episodes and have devoted ourselves to catching up. I've listened in chronological order. Sarah listens in reverse chronological order. I say she's robbing herself of enjoyment of context by doing this, particularly if there are ever any references to previous cases. This also robs us of any opportunity to discuss the episodes. How should we listen to back episodes?
Oh, this one is easy.
Yeah.
This is a very easy
one. Oh, okay. Great, great, great.
No problem here. First of all, I would say, always listen first to the newest episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a current episode, listen to that first.
Yeah.
Reason being, you want to know if there's something timely happening, you want to enjoy it in a timely fashion.
Sure, because I know you guys on this show, I mean, you do consider it a news program first and foremost.
Absolutely. Well, you know, since we added Stone Phillips.
Sure.
Now, I should be clear, Stone Phillips is not an on-air presence on the program.
Yeah.
And when I say added, I mean we've added him as to our inspiration board.
Right.
We have an inspiration board
is
here
he getting,
at the office.
Is he getting paid for that?
Oh, no, absolutely.
Oh, these are
not.
Just magazine. These are like Tiger Beat photos of Stone Phillips.
Yeah, from Tiger Beat for newsreaders.
Yeah. For the Lil News fan.
So first and foremost, your priority should be the current episode of the program. You know, you don't want to miss tour dates. You don't want to miss an announcement.
Sure.
You know, you might have missed, if you were just living in the back episodes, you might have missed that Judge Hodgman's new special Ragnarok is on Netflix right now.
That's an important piece of information.
That's the kind of important stuff you can miss out on. So, number one, always listen to the current episode first.
Mm-hmm.
Second of
also,
all...
Also, listen to current episodes, any episodes that have to do with current debates.
Oh, okay. Sure. And if there's anything about red or black currants, or any hard candies, any current flavored hard candies...
Listen to those first. The current episodes, the current episodes, then the back episodes.
And if there's any episodes about, of course, the great rivalry between Edison and Westinghouse about alternating current or direct current, I'd recommend listening to those first.
So, current episodes.
Right.
Current episodes.
Right.
Current episodes.
Right.
Back episodes.
And when you listen to the back episodes, more to the point of this question, when you listen to the back episodes, it is your intention to listen to the entire back catalog, which someone actually just emailed me the other day and said they were just about to finish all 283 episodes of Jordan Jesse Go.
Impressive.
I would like you to start from the beginning. The reason is that, as with any entertainment property, especially a comic one, there is a sort of accumulation of information and knowledge that will enrich your enjoyment. And you will miss out on that if you listen in reverse chronological order. And instead, what you will get when you listen in reverse chronological order is a steady downward slide. You want to start low and get high. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I say listen to the current one first because you don't want to miss out on timely things. And then if you're the kind of completist who wants to have heard every episode, start with episode one and keep on moving, and you'll get the incredible feeling of what it's like to see something become what it is before your very ears.
Sounds like that's solid advice. Shall we move on?
It's solid advice as long as you see with your ears.
Great. Nicole writes, my boyfriend John feels that dirty dishes are best placed on the clean counter above the dishwasher. I think dirty dishes should go in the sink until they're ready to be placed into the dishwasher or washed by hand. The obvious answer would be to put the dish directly into the dishwasher. However, most of the time the dishwasher is already filled with either dirty dishes or clean dishes. I do about 90% of the chores, and John's only mandatory task is the dishes. So I say, dishes in the sink, not the counter, until they're washed. And wash them regularly. Who's right in this argument?
I'm going to give you a nuanced answer on this one. First of all, I'm going to ask whether you have a single chamber or a bicameral sink.
Shall I answer for them?
Yes.
Single chamber.
Single chamber sink.
Mm-hmm. They live in an airport bathroom.
Wait, there's only one sink in this airport bathroom?
Well, they've roped...
Sounds like a hygiene disaster.
They've roped one off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they have a Tom Hanks in the Terminal slash Edward Snowden type situation.
Exactly, yeah. It's a squatter's rights thing. They have rights to one of the sinks.
In either case, they are living in an airport.
Mm-hmm.
They are making their money by returning luggage carts.
Mm-hmm.
And
they are in a lesser
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Spielberg movie. Yeah, sure.
Okay. That movie was a disappointment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'd think with Tom Hanks, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and that wonderful premise, it would be
a charmer. Shalhoub's in there, too?
You got a Shalhoub. And there's nothing better than Shalhoub.
Oh, yeah. And he just come off of Catch Me If You Can, which is a delight.
It's a really fun movie.
Anyway.
I'm going to say, with two chambers of the sink, no doubt about it, always goes in the sink. Okay, because you have a dirty side and a clean side. You have a side for washing and a side for rinsing. Okay?
Seems fair.
So my first recommendation is, come on, it's 2013, get a two-part sink. However, I understand not everyone can afford that. Not everyone's made out of money like I am.
Sure.
I got this podcast empire money.
Yeah. You're buying sinks up the wazoo.
Yeah, I got wisdom money.
Sure.
I got all this money that this wisdom I'm
from getting your wisdom teeth pulled and leaving them for the tooth fairy.
Yeah. So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, in a one sink situation, it's a little less clear. I'm going to say that I would like you to put them in the sink for this reason. I understand the impulse to put them beside the sink. And this was what we did in my own home as a child. However, my concern is, of course, vermin. I'm speaking not only of rodents, but also of insects.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are attracted to food and food detritus.
Lizard got in my house the other day.
Exactly. And this is the kind of things we should be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing that lizards love, it's a half-eaten club sandwich.
Sure.
So if he wants...
I don't want to be part of any club that would have lizard as a member.
If he's insistent on stacking them next to the sink, I would say if he wants to rinse them first, then he can stack them next to the sink neatly. However, that having been said, in a 90-10 situation, the person doing 90% of the work gets to make the call.
Sure.
It's obviously her house and he's just living in it. He's just skating across the top of this house. If he's only responsible for doing the dishes, she makes the call. You know what I mean? That's just basic equity. This is her home. He's lucky to have a live-in maid, and he should do whatever she says under any circumstances.
Yeah. And I bet she's giving it up regularly, too.
I bet she is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to know that for sure, but...
I mean, I could tell from the tone of the letter.
Right.
That she's giving it up.
From the tone, it seems clear.
Pretty regularly.
It seems clear.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, it looks like the docket's cleared.
Well, there's only one way for you, the listener, to spend more time with me and Jordan Morris. That's to listen to our hit comedy podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, which is a lot like this. I would say primary difference, Jordan Jesse Go's a lot more vulgar. Primary similarity, both programs are very judgmental.
So there you go. You get all the judgment without all this,
structure.
Yeah, exactly.
Reason for existing.
I was going to say teetotaling. Yeah, right.
Celebrity.
Yeah. If this program feels too pointed,
mm-hmm.
if you're like, get out of this.
Yeah.
Listen to ours.
Yeah. I think people. I think Judge John Hodgman fans who are not offended by profanity, of which there is a fair amount on Jordan Jesse Go, would really enjoy our program. It's a warm-hearted look at life. From the perspective of two men who are unafraid to talk about their gentleman parts.
Sure. So if you've been listening to this show, you think these guys are great, they're witty, I wonder what's going on with their junk, Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah, that's the way to go. Thank you so much to Judge John Hodgman for allowing us to fill in while he is in the internetless hills of the Northeast.
I can only assume we'll be filling in on The Daily Show any day now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, John Oliver opened up a slot for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was nice.
He also wants us to host The Bugle.
Can we be in Baby Mama too?
You bet we can.
Oh, awesome.
We're going to be doing celebrity cameos across a wide variety of media.
I can't wait to meet Dax Shepard.
If they finally get that Bored to Death movie made.
We're going to be playing Hodgman's part?
Absolutely. Tag team style.
That's great.
They're going to use prosthetics.
Oh, cool. This is like Todd Solondz' palindromes.
You got it. Okay, all of that, we really thank you a lot for listening to the program. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. MaximumFun.org/JJHO. No case too big, too small, too stupid, too brilliant, too important. Just send it in. You know, Judge Hodgman can make that call. He reads every submission. You can send in a weird joke submission. Not that you should, but you could. He'll read it.
Do it.
You know what I mean?
He's a thorough man.
Send all that stuff in at MaximumFun.org/JJHO. Check out Jordan Jesse Go free in your favorite podcatcher or online at MaximumFun.org. Thanks for taking the time. We will see you next time on the Judge John Hodgman Podcast.
The Judge John Hodgman Podcast is a production of MaximumFun.org. Our special thanks to all of the folks who donate to support the show and all of our shows at MaximumFun.org/donate. The show is produced by Julia Smith and me, Jesse Thorne, and edited by Mark McConville. You can check out his podcast, Super Ego, in iTunes or online at gosuperego.com. You can find John Hodgman online at areasofmyexpertise.com. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. If you have thoughts about the show, join the conversation on our forum at forum.maximumfun.org and our Facebook group at facebook.com/Judge John Hodgman. We'll see you online and next time right here on the Judge John Hodgman Podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.